But there's something very fascinating that there it is a fascinating theory that I'd like to bring up. But before I get there, I want to just affirm that there are other ancient references to finding giant bones, right? And so, for instance, well, first of all, I'm studying Egypt right now because I'm going to write my next novel on Moses, you know, and it's really fascinating. And I just find Egypt to be fascinating. Well, there's a couple texts in Egypt. Now, again, this isn't, they're not in the Bible, right? But they actually refer to the Anakim that we mentioned earlier. They actually use the word that is the Bible calls them Anakim, or the sons of Anak, meaning they were descendants of this giant called Anak. Well, there are a couple texts. One is called an execration text from ancient Egypt. And here's the fascinating thing that actually exists. It's around 1400 BC, which is roughly the time of Moses and them going into the Promised Land, right? So there's these execration texts, which are like magical stuff. And they talk about how there are these different rulers that they want to conquer. So they put their names on pottery and they break the pottery. And that's supposed to be magic that helps them have victory over those rulers, right? Well, they have several names of rulers. One of them is, and they're all coming from the Levant or Canaan. And one is called Anak. It's Anak from the Bible. And the other one is the ruler of Yabi Amu. And another one is Akiram. But one of the names is Anak. And that is a reference to those, probably to those Anakim from Canaan. And then there's another Egyptian letter that is a little bit later, but or I think actually earlier. And here's what it says. The narrow valley is, now they're talking about in the area near Canaan. And it says that the narrow valley is dangerous with Bedouin. Those are nomads, hidden under the bushes. Some of them are of 7 to 9 feet, their noses to the heel, and fierce of face. So they're describing Canaanites and they're describing giants. And this is, and they literally give that number 7 to 9 feet. And this is where I wanted to bring up the size issue, because there are some other ancient sources, like Greek sources, that talk about 30 feet tall giants, right? Before we get there, I just want to mention in the Bible, the problem with the word giant is when we hear that word, we have a modern bias. What do we think of? We think of the movie giants, you know, these creatures who are 30 foot tall, like Jack and the Beanstalk, right? Or, you know, tall as houses. They're like fantasy giants, right? But that the word giant just means a large person, technically, right? So that term, Nephilim, is a reference to large people. The only two sizes that it describes of giants is the 9.5 foot tall of Goliath, and then there's another Egyptian giant that they call a son of Rephaim, and he's said to be 7.5 feet tall. Now there's also strong scholarly argument that there are textual problems with the Goliath passage. We're not entirely sure sometimes because you have multiple copies and they don't always coalesce. And it's possible there are some legitimate Bible scholars who argue that from the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Bible, that Goliath was actually 6.5 feet tall, not 9.5. Now that's very fascinating to me, because does that mean, oh, well then it's, the Bible's not true? It's like, no. If you realize that, you know, the average height of Canaanites and Jews in that time, they're not eating like we eat. The average height is like 5'5". So even a 6'5" person or a 7.5 foot tall person, it's like a, you know, modern day basketball player, right? So they're very tall people. That's a giant. So my point here is that when the Bible talks about them, it's not saying that they're 30 feet tall or anything like that. It's just saying that they're very large.
Hey, welcome back to Blurry Creatures. Guys, it's been a heck of a ride. We've gone from Bigfoot to the Federal Reserve and demonic entities and all the stuff in between. And I appreciate you guys going on this ride with us. And if you've been there from the beginning, from the episode one till now, I just want to say thanks. That's a lot of commitment. And there's some people who've been on that ride and are learning a lot like we are. This is a members only episode with author Brian Godawa. He was our second interview, actually. And we had a ton of audio issues and we were still kind of figuring out how to do the podcast. And so it just kind of got put on the shelf. And I felt like now we have a member space. We can give this to you guys. We had a good conversation, but Luke and I have learned a lot more. We're almost 50 episodes into this now, so we've learned, you know, we have a bigger framework for how to interpret a lot of these complicated topics. So, you know, you can kind of hear that in this episode, but it's still a good episode, and there was still a lot of great information in there. And Brian is an accomplished author and filmmaker, so thank you for supporting the show, those that do. And if you want to hear this episode, you can go to blurrycreatures.com/members. Become a member, $7 a month, and that'll get you access to a private Facebook group. You can comment about future guests. You can ask questions. We're going to do some happy hours where we're going to have people join in on the Zoom calls and ask questions and just kind of hang out with us, as well as unreleased episodes like this. So head over to blurrycreatures.com. We're trying to make that more and more valuable to you guys, but it helps Luke and I chase down these stories and devote more time to this than just our spare time. We'd love to devote this, a ton of time to this. And if enough people pile on board, we can do that. So appreciate you guys. Head over to blurrycreatures.com. Sorry for that long rant, but just trying to keep this podcast rolling.